share with us. Happy birthday once again. God bless you and Jason and the kids. And please, you are invited, be blessed by the Holy Spirit to talk to us.
Thank you, JP. So, hey, CLC Church, it's so good to be here with you today. We are going through a series of messages on Isaiah 9, looking to the person of Jesus. And as we start our countdown to Christmas, and we finish this very difficult year, we want to help each one of us remember that Jesus not only give us hope for now, but he also give us hope for eternity. It is only when we understand the person of Jesus and the work that he has done in us that we can look into the circumstances around us with godly perspective. You know, it's only when we do Jesus our foundation that we can go through seasons like this, the one that we're living right now, with hearts full of faith and have endurance and find growth and have expectations for the future. So let's dive into the word today. So grab your Bible and we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And let God speak to us through his word. Okay, so Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." There is so much being said in that scripture. There's so much that we can learn of Jesus and what his coming to earth means to each one of us. So we learn about Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor with Leslie, and we learn about Jesus as the Mighty God with Tim. And today we're going to look into Jesus as the Everlasting Father. And it's my prayers I speak today that God will speak to each one of us, that God will move, and that we're going to have a fresh revelation of who he is and all that he has done to us. Will you join me in prayer? So God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together, even through screens, oh God, to come together as your people, oh God, as your children, and have the expectation that you speak to us, that you do something in our midst, oh God. And it's my prayer today that as we hear this word in our house, God, in our homes, that your presence will fill the room, oh God, that we're going to hear from you, oh God, that we're going to be transformed by your word. Thank you so much that you said that we can hear from you, oh God, that we can experience you, oh God, through your word, oh God. So I pray that we're going to have ears ready to listen, oh God, and hearts ready to receive from you, oh God. Thank you that your word is food to our souls, oh God, and we're ready to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, there's so much packed in that prophecy that was given to Isaiah, the promise of a child who would come and change humanity, that would change our story, a mighty God that came to earth to remind us of where we came from, to remind us of our story, to remind us of our Father. I know Jesus came to guide us back to his love, to reconcile and restore all things through his peace. And the promise of Jesus for the people of Israel that time brought so much hope. Who is in need of hope right now? And it's so good to think that that promise, given that it's our reality today, is a reality of experience God's undeserving grace in our lives, experiencing his relentless love every day. So Jesus came and changed our destiny forever. So today we look at Jesus, the Everlasting Father, and how Jesus coming to earth in this way changed our story, so changed humanity. And we need to go back to the beginning of the story. So when we have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a place where earth and heaven were one, where man and God were together. In Eden, man had access to the tree of life. And through that, he had also access to eternity. So Eden was a place where man and God were together. And the plan was for them to be together in that sense forever, for eternity. But we all know how the story goes. don't we? We know that with the fall of man, we lost the gift of God's presence, and we lost the gift of having access to the tree of life. And the corruption of man's heart just grew bigger and bigger, and we just went further away from God, and death became our destiny. But then a child was born, and he was called Everlasting Father. So in Jesus, humanity and God became one, so he could restore the rest of humanity back to its original calling. Jesus came to earth as the embodiment of the Father. So through Jesus, God and man inhabit the same place again. Open up with me in John chapter 14, verse 6, that says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. So Jesus opened a door that changed the relationship between man and God forever. You and I can now call God Father today because of Jesus. I love this passage in Genesis 3 that says that Adam and Eve heard the Lord walking through the garden. It's incredible that they had such a close relationship with God and just access to his presence. But how many of us are grateful that today we have the opportunity to experience God's presence every day, that we can have access to his tangible presence in our day ordinary lives? Is incredible. I'm thankful for that. So in some translations, we see Everlasting Father as Father of Eternity, and the symbolic use of the Hebrew word for Father has the meaning of possessor of. So we see like Jesus as possessor of eternity. So Jesus not only came to show us the Father, but also he came to give us access to eternal life. So Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 says that, for in Christ all fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. So Jesus came to destroy the corruption that was in our hearts and corruption that was in our minds, to give us back access to the Father and have back access to eternity with God. And he chose the most beautiful way to do that. He chose to make us his sons and daughters. He chose to make us part of his family. He wanted to make us one with him. So he adopted us into his family. He not only wanted to be our creator, he wanted to be our father. He wanted to be your father. So let's have a look in Ephesians 1:5. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, which says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So the corruption of our hearts would have destroyed us. Our destiny was death forever. The word God created became a great mess. And instead of abandoning us, instead of rejecting us, God had compassion on us, he loved us, and what adoptive loved us, and it takes responsibility for someone else's hurt. So 5 years ago, Jason and I had a word from God about fostering and about adoption, and 3 years ago we became foster carers for a local authority. And through this journey with fostering, we have so much of God's revelation, of God's presence in this time. And what we learn is that with fostering it and with adoption is you saying, like, I'm willing to bring near my life the brokenness of someone else. So through that, we can see transformation in that person through compassion, through love. And this is what God came to do with us. Jesus came to do with us, isn't it? So God adopted love to responsibility of the brokenness of the world. And because of that, you and I now, we get to be part of God's family. We have the incredible privilege to call the mighty God, the creator of the universe, Father. So what does it mean to be part of God's family? It's replace our identity as orphans to sons and daughters of God. You know, in this experience that we had with fostering, we often see that children that have suffered neglect, they normally we reject provision and care. They would not know what to do with that. And for them, being like in a healthy family environment is the best place for them to grow in that, and growing in having relationship with others and seeing what a healthy family looks like. So I think children that have lived with us, there's something, their perspective that have changed. So change how they can take care of themselves. So having a bath every day and cleaning teeth, how to look after themselves, that we sit at the table, we all eat together, that we talk with each other about things about our day. So the children that have been in our lives, there's something that shifts in their minds. Their perspective of what family life looks like is probably different from when they came to live with us. And it's the same with us and God. When we experience His grace, it opens up a whole new way of us seeing every part of our lives. We are transformed when we are under the care of God. Amen for that. So the transformation that God brings to us when we are adopted to His family changes our nature. Like I said before, Jesus not only came to show us the Father, but He came to give access to the Father and access to eternal life. So let's open Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, that says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." When you confess that, when you confess Jesus, you not only confess that He's God, but you also confess that He made you into a son and daughter of God. That you no longer are natural, but you have been transformed into a supernatural nature. This is why Jesus called us to a new birth through Him. He wants to make us alive in Him by removing the corruption that the darkness has made in us, caused in us, and He wants to transform our hearts. He wants to transform the way we think. He wants to transform our lives. So Jesus, the everlasting Father, the Father of eternity, came to awaken us. Being a child of God is not only just like standing, like a legal standing in His family as adopted children, but is having a new spiritual DNA. The children of God have new ways of seeing things. They have new passions, new desires. They are transformed by God. You know, the new birth in the Spirit of God makes us operate and live supernatural lives here on earth through our faith in Jesus. We stop to operate on our own perspective. We stop to decide good and bad on our own terms. And what we do? We surrender. We surrender to a life where God set the tone, where God set the steps. Jesus asks us to follow Him, hasn't He? To follow Him to a life that takes off the focus of here, of the natural, and put the focus on the supernatural. That takes off the focus of us and put the focus on God. So you and I, we already have God's heart. God decided to adopt us. God decided to make us His sons and daughters. We read in Ephesians that from the beginning, God decided to love us, to adopt us and make us His sons and daughters. He already decided in advance, isn't it? Is what He says. He decided to bring us back to Him, to give us eternal life. But the question that I have for you today is, does God have your heart as a son, as a daughter? So adoption, it's not simple. I think you all have heard some stories about this adoption. It's not simple. It's not straightforward. You know, we've seen through fostering that a neglected heart does not always want to receive love, to receive care, to trust. to be obedient, know to live in that boundaries, to have that trust. And same with us, you know, our corrupted heart will never accept God's paternity over it. Through our own strength, we will never be able to surrender to God. It is only by the power of the Spirit that we can accept and live in our identity as sons and daughters of God. And this is what Jesus came to do. This is what Jesus came to give us, the ability to receive God's love, the ability to receive His care, His faithfulness, His provision, His discipline. Jesus came to give us hearts of sons and daughters. And the prophet said that He will give us a new heart, a heart ready to receive His love. So John 17, 2 to 3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." So Jesus came so that we would know the love of our Father. And there's no earthly satisfaction, there's no earthly joy that compared to that one, to know God's love for our lives, but also of knowing Him. So this year I lost my father. And now one thing that I do daily is trying to bring a memory of him. I try to remember his voice, his face, things that we did together, the touch of his hand. Every day I just try to bring to my memory something about him. And you know, I feel so blessed to be his daughter. He was an incredible man of God. But most important, I think when you're part of a family, you get to see someone in a much wider perspective than many people. So I got to see my father as my daddy, as my dad. So playing with me, playing with my brother, having that affection. I could see him laughing with me and having fun and finding ways to interact with me. I've seen him and his interaction with my mom, how he showed love towards her. So him hugging her and kissing her, having that romantic feeling. I saw my dad being assertive and direct as a lawyer and being more serious. I saw my father like fighting to get things right for other people, loving some very distant family members that need help. I got to see my father in so many ways, and I think and I believe that that's a privilege. I feel so blessed by it. And you know, it's the same with us and God. Being part of God's family means that we get to see him on a daily basis, you know, that we learn from him constantly. It means that we are fed by him daily. It means that he is the one that puts things in our table. It means that he prepares our food, that he sets our routines, he sets our times, that we know the voice. His voice is the one that comforts us when you need comfort. He's the one that wants to take care of our hurts. You know, he's the one that corrects us, that voice of correction in our lives. He's the hand that takes us out of danger. And we get to also witness his authority when he comes to us, you know, and brings justice in our lives. So we've got to see how powerful he is when we look at him and notice who he is. You know, as children of God, we are created to know his fullness, to explore it, and to know each day a little bit more. And to delight in it, to have pleasure in it. Like I said, I was blessed to be my daughter's my father's daughter, and I am supernaturally blessed to be God's daughter. Every day I get to see a little bit more of him. You know, we know that God loves us as a father. So I'm gonna ask my question again. Does God have your heart as a son, as a daughter? So we're going to the end of our word right now, but I want you to put yourself in the position of receiving this word and letting God speak to you through that. So I'm gonna read our final Bible verse and I want to pray. So let's just find a position to receive this word. Don't you open our hearts to God. So listen to this. This is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, that says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. How powerful this, you know, that God sent his son to transform our hearts. And now the spirit of God in us cries out, I want my father, I want my dad. He wants our heart to desire him so much, to desire to have relationship with him so much. You know, the Spirit of God is calling you. He's inviting you to discover the satisfaction, the joy that it should be a son and daughter of God. Do not silence that invitation. Do not silence the voice of the Spirit in you. But surrender to it. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word, oh God. But I thank you so much, oh God, for your love, your adopted love over us, oh God, that you do not abandon us when we make mistakes, oh God, but you take responsibility, oh God, and you come and you restore us and you reconcile your things in us, oh God, and for us, oh God. And I pray that we understand, that we experience more and more of your love, oh God, that we're going to surrender to you, oh God, that we're going to stop trying to do things our own way, oh God. We're going to stop to decide good and bad on our own terms, oh God. We're going to surrender to you, God. Let you be Father in our lives, oh God. Let you be the voice that guide us, oh God, the voice that instruct us, oh God, the voice that encourage us, oh God, that comfort us, oh God. We surrender to you, oh God, and I pray, Spirit, that you continue to do your work in us. Give us a heart ready to receive God's love, oh God. Give us a heart with so much thirst and hunger, oh God, to experience what it is to be a son and daughter of God. Oh, Spirit of God, come. And now today, I just pray that you feel the rooms of people who are watching today, oh God. I thank you so much for their lives, oh God. I thank you so much that your love are for them, oh God. And I just pray this fresh revelation that you want to bring today, oh God. Thank you. Thank you that you made us sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus, for your love of our lives, oh God. Thank you that you took responsibility. And we pray that we surrender. We surrender to your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Over to you, JP.
Thank you so much, Paula. I'm over here. It's David and myself over here at church right now. I'm trying not to be too overwhelmed. I think the Holy Spirit is here, my friend. I can't neglect what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. Usually when we are at home, there's like rush when we are watching the service together. There's noise. There is, you know, you're preparing food. There's so many things happening, but please stop for a minute. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that Jesus wants to do a heart surgery right now. He wants to change our hearts. Because there's a huge possibility that this Christmas, this end of year, that our entire year, we've been walking with Jesus, but we don't see the Father. In John chapter 14, Philip comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, show us the Father, and that will be enough. That will be enough for us. And Jesus replies to Philip, he says, Philip, don't you understand yet? When you look at me, you are seeing the Father. There's a possibility that we're going to turn off our computers, we're going to turn off our mobiles this morning, and we're going to continue walking with Jesus, but not seeing the Father. I don't know, maybe you had an amazing father on earth. Maybe you had an amazing father at home, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you had a father that was violent, that I don't know what is the kind of example of father you have. But our Father in heaven, He is all about love. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus, but you struggle so much to recognize. Maybe you struggle to ask the Father things. And this morning, Jesus wants us to look at Him and see the Father. He wants us to be adopted. There's a possibility that we're going to end up this service this morning and continually walking with Jesus. But Jesus wants to show us the Father. I don't know, maybe you are under depression today. Maybe you've been trying to prove and to deserve to be called a child of God. Let me just read again. We were singing the song today. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. And I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you are pleased and I am never alone. Because you are a good, good father. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. And that's who I am. And you are perfect in all of your ways. I had for many years difficulties with my father on earth. And God has healed it. And that affected my relationship with my father in heaven. And this morning, the Father changed all our plans for the service. We recorded a lot of things that didn't work. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be alive today, this morning. Because the Father doesn't want us to end this year, 2020, saying that what a rubbish year it has been. Because this year has been important. Because the Father has been showing us that we can trust on Him. Jesus is showing us this morning. He's showing to your family right now. That you can trust Him. Look at Jesus and you will see the Father. A loving Father. So don't finish right now. And don't rush into preparing food or something. Go down on your knees. Go to your room. Ask for a moment or sit together with your family and just say, Father, thank you so much. Jesus, thank you so much because you showed us eternity. The Father is waiting to hear your voice. Call out for Him. Say, Abba, Father. And He will run to you. Don't remember, we have cafe right now after our service. Let's talk about Father. Father, we have prayer in this evening. And yes, all the week long until the end of this year, until the end of life, until the beginning of eternal life forever. We will be forever saying, Father, may the Father bless you and be with you. It's so good to call you brother because of the Father. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Bye-bye.